The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from the Hyatt in the Galleria. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you're out and about, come on out to the Hyatt in the Galleria because Owen Daniels is here.
That's right.
And he's going to join us at 5:30 and was just chatting with Owen. You know, there's a lot of good stuff to talk with him to him about, including football. But right now we are joined by a guy I have been waiting to talk to for a couple of weeks because he's finally back. You know him from pregame.com. You know him from last year when he was on the show. College football gambling genius Brad Powers. You can follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Brad, welcome back, man. Good to talk to you. How are things?
Great, and also I hope all is well with you guys, and very excited that we can finally talk some college football here.
Yeah, we're pumped about it, and we're I think Fred and I both have our first bets in of the season. We're both excited, and I've got people here trying to talk me off my first bet already. I'm on New Mexico State tonight, and I know I saw them play last week. They are horrible. But I cannot get past the fact that Minnesota is starting a true freshman walk-on at quarterback. So I'm on New Mexico State plus three touchdowns and the under 45. Am I crazy for giving New Mexico State this much credit to think that they can somewhat hang with a true freshman walk-on?
Yeah, I think any line north of three touchdowns is definitely, across my line. 21.5 is the current line in faraway places. So at that number, I definitely lean with New Mexico State, who is not as bad as what they looked in week one. Look, P.J. Fleck is not known to run up the score on many teams, and I'm not sure he's got the talent to do that, especially with the true freshman quarterback. But if you're asking me, you know, my favorite of the two plays there, I think under 48.5. I can't believe the line's up to 48.5. I was impressed with New Mexico State's defense. They just gave out late a little bit there. It had no help from their offense. One stat I will tell you, an angle, everyone likes angles, on why New Mexico State's probably the sharper of the two sides. Gophers, last 11 times is a double-digit favorite, 1-10 against the spread.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow.
The other game that I'm on tonight is Northwestern and Purdue, and it's hard for me to know exactly what lines should be before games have been played, but I thought for sure Northwestern would be favored in this spot, and instead I took the line yesterday at plus 1.5. I think it's up to plus 2.5 now, but I love Northwestern with a plus next to their name in this game. What about you?
I mean, that's their preferred underdog role is Northwestern. Road underdog last 10 years, they're 23-9 against the number. I mean, if you tell me that Clayton Thorson is going to be 100%, the quarterback for Northwestern after tearing an ACL in last year's bowl game, then I agree with you. Northwestern's the better of the two teams. But we're not 100% sure if he's 100%, and I think that's why Purdue's favored. And don't sell the Boilermakers too short. Jeff Brom, I think, is one of the more underrated coaches in the country. They do lose a lot on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see how that impacts them. More off as far as the side goes for me, I actually like the over. I think Purdue's a sneaky over team. I think the offense will be much improved this year, and I expect the defense to take a step back.
Brad, two games I like a lot this week, and tell me if I'm off. I like Tulane tonight plus 6 at home against Wake Forest. I really like what that coach is doing. I really like how that the direction that program's going. And my favorite play of the week is Troy getting 12.5 at home against Boise. Tell me why I'm wrong about those.
I don't know if you're wrong on the Troy one. I am against you tonight. And look, I get it. Wake Forest is starting a true freshman quarterback on the road, and I love Willie Fritz, the Tulane head coach. But I see a massive issue as far as the line of scrimmage, where Wake Forest returns all five starters on the offensive line, and they were playing big boy football at the end of last season, particularly on offense. You just can't tell me. I know the quarterback Kendall Hinton is suspended, but he wasn't last year's starter, and really the market right now is saying he's worth a touchdown to the line. I just don't see it. I mean, a Tulane team that loses three starters on their defensive line, their top two tacklers and linebacker, I think Wake Forest is going to try to run it down their throats tonight. As far as Boise State, yeah, I think they're a little overpriced in the marketplace. I think Troy's being a little overlooked because they lose a four-year starting quarterback in Brandon Silvers, lose their second-leading rusher in school history. But outside of that, I think Neil Brown's one of the better Group of Five coaches there is. The one caveat to that and why I don't have a Troy ticket in my pocket, Boise State, everyone talks about them on the blue turf. They're actually terrible on the blue turf against the spread. Where you want to back Boise State is on the road, away favorite the last 10 years. They cover 69% of the time. They're 36-16 against the number as an away favorite.
What do you think about Lane Kiffin's group against Oklahoma? That's a pretty big number, too, and a new quarterback for Oklahoma. They lost some playmakers. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, I like Florida Atlantic a lot just because, Lane Kiffin's never going to take the foot off the gas pedal. And, if they're getting beat by, 28, 24 points, he's going to try to get that extra score. You got to think that, Lane Kiffin looks over on the other sideline and sees Lincoln Riley making millions of dollars coaching Oklahoma. And Lane Kiffin personally has got to think to himself, why am I not coaching at a place like Oklahoma making millions of dollars? Devin Singletary, here's a name you need to remember, the running back for FAU. Last year, 32 touchdowns on the ground. That's more than a lot of teams in college football scored combined. FAU, they were, obviously a moneymaker at the end of last season. 10 straight covers to close last season, an average cover, 15 points per game. Experienced team, give me FAU. Early start time for that one, too. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing for Oklahoma laying three touchdowns.
Let me move to tomorrow's games, and one of the ones that I almost feel like is a sucker play, and then I thought about it, and then I was like, man, maybe I'm not getting enough points, or maybe I'm playing too many underdogs early, but I really like San Diego State at Stanford. I'm not as high on Stanford as it seems the national media are. I mean, the fact that Stanford is number 13 in the AP poll is alarming to me. And I know that, there's no Rashad Penny this year for San Diego State, but that's a pretty well-coached team that's been really competitive the last handful of years. What are your thoughts on San Diego State covering two touchdowns at Stanford?
Yeah, that's definitely where the market's on, San Diego State. And keep in mind, Stanford's got revenge for last year. San Diego State just beat them outright last year, and it was legit. San Diego State outgained them by 100 yards in that game. So Stanford, you would think with an entire offseason with a little bit of revenge, be a little bit more motivated, but it's awfully tough to lay two touchdowns against a team that's always been good on the defense side of the ball under Rocky Long and run the football short in the clock. And then you look at what broke here in the last couple of days. Stanford's going to suspend six players, a couple of key starters. All six players were in the two deep, and this isn't Alabama or Ohio State, so it's not like Stanford can afford to lose guys like that. USC's on deck for Stanford at home. Yeah, if you can still find a plus 14 out there, the Aztecs are the pick.
Yeah, I'm also I'm leaning to Colorado State tomorrow against Colorado, who I'm pretty heavy against Colorado this year. They lost a lot of stuff. I just don't think they're going to be very good. And typically that rivalry seems to produce close games. If I'm getting over a touchdown with Colorado State, you feel pretty good about that?
I liked Colorado before last week's game against Colorado State, and people are going to be like, what? Colorado State lost as a 17-point favorite.
Right.
How can your opinion on Colorado State improve? But, I don't like when the market entirely throws a team in the trash, particularly a public market, and that seems to be the case where Colorado has become a very public side in that game. So, I would say the sharper the two sides, at least at the current number, is Colorado State. I got an early number on Colorado, but you know, one thing that I am worried about Colorado State, I mean, they were down 30 to last week, and a lot of those points and yards came where they're just throwing it late, and Hawaii was playing prevent defense. That would concern me. Maybe Mike Bobo, with him being hospitalized, threw the team off, and he was in the hospital for a week plus. Colorado State's the least experienced team in the country coming back. I know they have a game under their belt, but obviously that wasn't a first good look. And yeah, it's been a competitive series, and if you go back a decade plus, but you know, the last 2 years, the combined scoring 61-10 in favor of Colorado, and they're laying a touchdown. Colorado State will not be in pocket for me. In fact, I bet Colorado earlier in the summer.
The two best games, at least on paper this weekend, appears to be Michigan Notre Dame and Auburn Washington. Auburn a 2-point favorite, Notre Dame a 1.5-point favorite. Do you like the dogs or the favorites in those matchups?
Yeah, I like the dogs in both games. I guess I'm a little concerned, you know, taking a Pac-12 team against an SEC team, but the reality is Chris Peterson is such a better head coach than Gus Malzahn, and you look at Malzahn's performance, at least on the road, away from home, against ranked teams, and he's 1-9 straight up, 1-9 against the numbers, so you could see in big-time games he gets routinely out-coached, and while it's the third straight game in that same building for Auburn, and they'll have a little bit of the crowd edge. I mean, the first two games weren't necessarily good looks for him. So I got the more experienced team in Washington, the better head coach. And I think Washington in the secondary is going to give Auburn some problems. Jarrett Stidham, I like him a lot. But with a couple of wide receivers banged up, you lose your top two backs from last year. I don't see how either team has much success on offense. Not only lean Washington, but also the under. And probably one of my favorite picks of the week. I hate to go with the big game of the week, but I just think Notre Dame's offense, losing their top running back, their top wide receiver, their top two offensive linemen, their offensive line coach, Brandon Wimbush, can't complete 50% of his passes. He sure as heck isn't going to have a great, you know, passing performance against what I think is the best secondary in the country. Shea Patterson, whether you think he's great or good or above average, I can tell you that he is an upgrade over what Michigan had at quarterback last year, and that's the case. I think Michigan's got the better head coach and just a better overall team, and I'm getting 1.5 there, and it's a bad matchup. I like the Wolverines a lot.
All right, Brad, one more before we let you go. I love Butch Davis at home against Indiana getting 10.5 points. How do you feel about that game?
A little indifferent. You know, obviously Butch Davis did a tremendous job last year, doubling the season win total. Indiana's starting running back Morgan Ellison is suspended for the game. You looked at Butch Davis, always good in an underdog role, especially last year, was getting a lot of disrespect. I'm not a Tom Allen fan as far as the head coach for Indiana. Indifferent. That number's been right around 10.5. Earlier today it was 9.5 and got steamed back up to 10.5. If you like FIU, I would say, you know, obviously that hook is awfully attractive. If you're looking to back the favorite, man, that 10.5 isn't real attractive for me.
All right, that's Brad Powers, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPower7. He's got power rankings. He's got everything. And, Brad, great stuff as always, my friend. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right, we are going to take a very, very quick break. But first, I have to tell you about Texans Can Academy. And, guys, if you've got a vehicle, and it really doesn't matter whether it's running, doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in, you can donate it. If it's been sitting in your garage and you were thinking, hey, man, I need to do something with it, well, donate it to Texans Can Academies, because what they're going to do is take that money and they're going to make sure that kids who are thinking about dropping out of school because maybe the schedule doesn't work, there's all kinds of things. Well, they take them in and they work with them, and school started again, they need your help. And if they need glasses to read, they get them that. If they need transportation to school, they get them that. They do all these things, and it's all because of your donations. And that's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, tractors. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Doesn't matter if it's running. Doesn't matter if it's got flood damage. They're going to come and tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork, and your donation is tax deductible. That simple. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Guess what? They're going to give you a $50 gift card. So get rid of something you're not using anymore. Do a good thing. Help kids out. go to carsforkids.org or give them a call at 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Right off the car, not the kid.
Ready?
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
That's right. We are at the Hyatt. Fred is like, I don't know what's going on with Fred, but he's obsessed over there with the tequila ladies. He just cannot stay away from them. Like, every break, he's over there talking to them. I'm not sure what's going on.
No, I was actually talking to David Gowther.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The boss is here, so we were a little business to do. I mean, you know, I have some other roles here at the company.
Okay.
And that's all.
Do you have other roles between the hours of 4 and 7?
Sometimes, unfortunately, yeah.
You should have said, hey, Davey, got to go.
Well, I did. As soon as I heard the thing, I ran over here as fast as I could. But actually, no, what we were talking about is something that you and I have talked about. So
about us getting a raise, a bonus?
No, don't know that stuff.
Oh.
Other stuff within the company.
Wow.
No, you'll like it when I tell you off air.
Okay.
So, but, you know. All right. So, hell, we haven't really had a chance to talk about anything.
No, we haven't.
Guests have you, and we've got Owen coming up next, and he was telling me about his son and some of the stuff they dealt with over the last few months. Sounds terrible.
Is this something to save for the year? Or?
Yeah, let's save it for the year.
Okay.
Because I want to ask him about it because he didn't get to finish the story because – like I have basically, this is the first time I didn't actually get back when we came back. I've been like putting my headset on as Big Voice Guy was saying, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman. This is the first time I didn't
get
back.
When I first talked to Owen when he got here, he said, if we want, we can have him on at 5:15 and he can just go for 45 minutes if that's how long we want to talk to him for.
Well, let's just have him on now then.
Hey, Owen.
Huh,
you ready to come on?
Yeah, why don't you come jump on now? Nope.
Oh, he's busy now.
Oh, now he's got friends.
Oh, now he's got a friend.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you should have just said that. We could have had him on the whole segment here.
Well, I mean, we basically are. We've talked for like 1 minute.
Yeah, but, you know.
And you weren't here to start the segment anyway. So
I missed 5 seconds.
That's
okay?
A lot. That's a lot of time.
Yeah. But, okay, so you were telling me about your son.
Well, introduce our guest, the greatest tight end in the history of the Houston Texans franchise.
Daniels. We've been talking about Owen Daniels.
Thank you. Thank you. Far too kind.
But you know what? I think we did one show with Owen when he was doing the show here.
Yeah.
I think we filled in for Dave and whoever.
Carl.
Yeah, Dave and Carl one time, and we had a lot of fun. And I'm pretty sure Owen told Dave, hey, I'd rather work with those guys than you guys.
Yeah, it's probably why they didn't ask me to do the show anymore after that.
It's probably so.
Well, I think you got hurt. It's like that show.
Everybody we had got hurt.
Everybody who did that show had a season-ending injury.
The only guy that didn't, what was that knucklehead safety's name?
Oh, DJ Swearinger.
DJ Swearinger. He didn't get hurt because I think he was too dumb to get hurt.
He couldn't put his sentence together.
Oh, boy. That was the worst.
DJ.
That was the worst.
Quentin Demp stayed healthy all year. He was the one guy.
Okay.
He might have missed 2 games, though, now that I think about it.
I think he did miss a couple games.
Yeah. So, what's going on, man?
Not too much.
Good to see you again.
Yeah.
What's a regular day in the life of Owen Daniels like these days?
It was dad life, you know.
Dad life?
Things have kind of transitioned. This past summer was pretty interesting. We had a situation with our son. Long story short, he got diagnosed with neuroblastoma, which is a pretty rare pediatric cancer.
How old is he?
He just turned 3 at the end of June. He got diagnosed, right at the end of April, and it did some. He had a tumor. We got all these tests done on the tumor, and luckily the cancer was only in that one spot. It hadn't spread throughout his body. Hadn't metastasized at all. So that was, we're just very, very thankful for that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of kids in a lot of different situations, especially this rare of a cancer that, when they find out, it's kind of everywhere, and it's a tougher road. So I don't know if you guys remember Devin Still.
Yeah.
So his daughter, and remember the story of his daughter going through, she had the same type of cancer, neuroblastoma. So it's a pretty small community of family and kids that kind of have this. It's like, you know, 600 kids a year
get diagnosed with this. Pretty small amount.
Yeah, it's like something like 7% of all pediatric cancers. Anyway, so it's like a pretty small, tight-knit community, so everyone kind of gets in touch with the others. So we've been in touch with him. Anyway, my son's doing great. He went through his four rounds of chemo this summer, and recently, let's see, 2 weeks ago as of Monday, he had surgery to get his tumor removed, and they were able to remove, you know, essentially all of it. There were some cells left behind, but overall he's in great shape. Gotta keep monitoring and moving forward, but so the summer was interesting to say the least.
How does he handle that? I mean, is he?
Oh man, he.
I know at 3 years old, it's hard to keep a kid still. I'm sure that
he is like the bravest boy. He is. He taught us so much through this. It's been incredible. He didn't know any better. He's, you know, just turned three, and
is this your first kid?
This is our first one. We have another little boy who's like about a year and a half.
Now, are you? Does this make you like totally paranoid? And like, are you now like you're not allowed to go outside? Or are you, like, are you that kind of a dad now, or is your wife that kind of a mom?
Well, yeah, she's the one who actually you know noticed, you know, because he was totally healthy. There's no reason we should have thought anything was wrong with him, and we didn't really think anything was wrong with him. He was playing outside one day. It happened to be Easter Sunday. And half of his, it was hot outside, half of his face got red and sweaty, and the other half was pale and dry. I'm talking about split down the middle.
That's crazy.
And that is a symptom of this thing called Horner syndrome. Horner syndrome is usually caused by a tumor somewhere along the sympathetic nervous system. And sure enough, the tumor was there. And at the time, it was inoperable, so we had to go through all the chemo stuff. But you know, he's in great shape now. And
wow.
He went through all that stuff, and it was tough on him, but... he handled it super, super well.
It's got to be scary for you guys, though, when he comes in and you see that. And you were telling me you're Googling all this stuff, and it's got to scare the hell out of you as a parent.
It was scary. I mean, my wife started Googling stuff that evening that we kind of saw his face. And I'm like, babe, he's good. Like, he's totally healthy. He's fine. He's not acting funny. Which that's like her side, the warrior side. And I'm the kind of the balance on the optimistic side. So wouldn't have found out if it wasn't for her. She pretty much saved his life. But if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't have found out till much, much later.
Yeah, when my daughter was an infant, she had underdeveloped lungs. And so we were in and out of Texas Children's. Like, and actually, that was the week of the first season of the Texans. And so when I was at the Chronicle, I spent the whole time doing the Texans-Cowboys game and then would go to Texans Children and spend the night and spend a whole week doing that. But the hardest thing in the world was, like, there was like 2 weeks where she had to be there and they had her in the cancer ward because there was no other place. And to see all those kids and the parents and the things that they had to go through and, you know, varying degrees, obviously.
Yeah,
some of
yeah.
them were going to be fine. Some of them weren't. That was just a hard thing to be around, and I'm sure you guys had to deal with that too.
It was tough, but the you know people over at TCH, that's where we are.
Those doctors are amazing.
They're amazing, and then the situation, you know, the room that they have, you know, sometimes he had to be in a room because they had to monitor him for the different drugs that he was getting, the different chemo drugs that they had to put together for him. But then he got to kind of go out this big room, open air, like, you know, multiple story room with. You know, glass. You know, the glass windows, the light coming in. They have games and stuff out there, so they create about as good as an environment as they can for the kids there to kind of, you know, go through what they're going through. He would have like be hooked up with his little robot. You call them robots. So he has a white robot and his blue robot, and he'd, you know, drag it around and shoot hoops. And we try to keep everything as normal as possible with him. The crazy thing about the neuroblastoma is it starts in the fetus, so it's not even something that happens after. So, you know, there's still a lot that's unknown about that type of cancer. And so one of our things is, I don't know if you guys know this before, but I was working with TCH when I was playing. I had a foundation.
Yeah.
And, we were working with the children's hospitals in town. So we're going to kind of pivot our deal and move it toward pediatric cancer and kind of bring more awareness to this. Specifically neuroblastoma going forward. Well, so we're looking forward to doing that.
That's awesome.
It's kind of getting settled down now.
Yeah, if you need some help with that, I'm in, man.
Oh, for sure.
So what are you going to do now? I mean, Honestly, yeah. We see all these former players that wind up doing radio and TV and stuff like that, and I'm like, well, I think Owen Daniels would be great at this. You given any thought to that?
Yeah, so retirement's been interesting. It hasn't exactly been what I had envisioned it to be. It's been a lot harder than I anticipated. So now I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm figuring that I need to do something, and this the foundation thing would be a good thing to kind of spend our time on and move that forward. And radio is obviously something that is a possibility, and I enjoy doing it.
You haven't burned through all your money yet, have you?
Almost. So I got a little bit left. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think we're good. We're good. We're definitely good. It just, being involved with something, doing something, kind of having a schedule on a daily basis is something I've learned that I work better with. I think most guys do that, have been athletes in the past. You're so used to, that regimented schedule that that's usually how you flourish with a schedule, with something to do. And when you're kind of have days where it's like, oh, got no plans, got nothing, you kind of can kind of lose your way sometimes.
You play Fortnite?
I don't know. I'm the worst at any type of video game.
That's good.
Don't get me on.
I'm glad you didn't say yes. It was going to be bad.
Well, when my kids get a little bit older and they get on the video games, I'll get back into it. But
I think one of the things that you did that's so smart, and it was almost Jeter-esque. You waited until really late in your career to get married. I always think it's so crazy. Carlos Correa wins the World Series, then he proposes. Dude's he's 15 years old. Dude, you're making a huge mistake. for multiple reasons. I feel like you got a chance to live a little bit while you were in the NFL, lived life as a single man, and you get to pile up a bunch of money without having someone at home spending it up. And so I feel like you did a really smart thing by waiting until late. I want to know if that was by design.
I wish I could say it was by design. I think if I would have met my wife, I think I met my wife at the perfect time. It was one of those things where I wasn't looking for any type of a relationship or anything, and I don't think she was either, but we kind of found each other. And she actually ended up being with me for more than half my career. We were together for 6 years of my career, or she saw six of my seasons. So, we got married after my eighth season, or right before my eighth season. So it was good timing. It was good timing for sure.
Did she mind the moving around? I'm sure she wasn't crazy about Baltimore. I'm sure she was probably okay with Denver. She's anything like my wife, how was that? We got married. Guess what? We're moving tomorrow.
I kind of took her away from her work here a little bit. She was an assistant DA for Harris County. And she really enjoyed that type of work. She didn't enjoy the government work, portion of it, that type of workload and pay. But she just enjoyed that environment in general. But you know what, Baltimore, we live in a really cool place. We live right in the harbor. So, we had about the best experience we could have in Baltimore. I actually really enjoyed it. Denver was awesome. Who doesn't love Colorado? It's a fantastic place. So.
And you got some jewelry there, so that's that always helps.
Yeah, some hardware. That's I think that made it definitely more worthwhile. And after that, I felt like those 2 years I was still able to perform and be a big enough part of the offense. After that, my body was kind of catching up with me after all those years, and I didn't want to just kind of bounce around. So that was one of the reasons I stepped away after that year. There's opportunities to go play after the Denver year,
I'm surprised Denver didn't want you back. You started every game that year. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I ever played every single game, started every single game. First time that I played every single game since 2008.
Yeah, that seems like an odd time to hang it up. Your body,
it took its toll, that's for sure.
Because let's be honest, if you had just listened to your body all along, you would have quit years ago. But now suddenly it's true. I played 16 full games. I got to listen to my body and shut this thing down.
Games. Yeah, 19. Yeah.
Yeah, that was 19 caught up to me, that's for sure. I don't know if they saw something I didn't see. I would have, I was under contract for 2 more years there, and I would have loved to play those 2 years or maybe just at least one of them. But those next 2 years didn't go so great for the Broncos, so
yeah.
I'm actually not upset about that. I wasn't
That's their fault for cutting you, right? That's what they get.
It wasn't my decision.
That's what they get.
That's why they sucked, was they cut you. Hey, hang around for a little bit.
I'll go with that, yeah.
Okay, before we go to break, I got to tell you guys about MyBookie. Time to ditch your bookie and go to MyBookie. Great website. I've already got some action in tonight. I'll have action in all weekend, and it's all going to be on MyBookie. And the cool thing is, like, they also have – they've got horse betting, which I love. They've got sports betting, which I love. If you want to bet on fantasy, over-unders for fantasy points, they got that. They've got a survivor pool. Everything you could possibly want is on MyBookie. So why go anywhere else? And the cool thing is, a lot of these websites, part of the gamble is putting your money in. That's not the case of MyBookie. They're safe, reliable. They've been in business for years. I've run thousands of dollars through there, to be honest with you, whether it's depositing or cashing out, and never had any issues. In-game live betting, player perks, they got you covered. It's MyBookie is awesome. All you got to do is go to your computer or mobile phone, Google MyBookie, and get your account started. Right now, they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That's right, a dollar-for-dollar match on your deposit. All you have to do is use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Just Google MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code RADIO when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie. They don't understand. They want to see me on top. Too egotistical. Talking all that
slick the same way these do. Wonder what my secrets is. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the number one sports show in Houston for all of 2018 with the number one tight end in the history of Texans football. Owen Daniels.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
I'm curious your thoughts on the
numbers-wise.
The current situation. Well, no, it's not just numbers-wise, my friend.
No.
That thing has been – I mean, since the day you walked out the door, they're like, what do we do here? Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah, let's go draft a guy from Wisconsin who's not as good and then act like – yeah.
It just hasn't – that position has been a sore spot for them
since
you left.
Tough luck with injuries, huh? Some head injuries.
Yeah, the Fedorowicz thing is tough. Although,
but Griff had some last year too. Didn't
he? That's true. But Fedorowicz was weird because his first year, I was like, this guy sucks. This guy can't play. And then by the time he finally figures it out, it's like, oh yeah, I've got to retire now. It's like, really? Yeah. You got all this way, and now
he's a big dude. Like, yeah, I feel like he's a good fit for both those guys. Good fit for OB's offense or whatever they. That Patriot offense or whatever.
Yeah.
Pseudo Patriot offense.
Let's just call it OB's offense.
Yeah. OB's offense.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were around a lot of guys like this. It's like, you know, some guys, first year, you look at them and you go, man, they can't play in the league. And then but do you see something in guys where you say, you know what, if he could just figure this out, he could be a really good player? I mean, as a guy who's played and seen other guys like that, were there people like that you saw, you know what, if he can just figure this out, he'll be good?
Yeah, not everyone is develops the same at the same speed or kind of has it click for them like right away. I don't know if it clicked for me right away. I got an opportunity to play right away and kind of throw in the fire and just kind of had to go with it. But I've seen guys like training camp, obviously like, man, like I don't know about this guy. And then – you know, I don't know if it's like halfway through the season or the next year, or something happens, or they get more motivated. They figure it out, and you know they kind of keep improving from there. So that's not out of the ordinary. I don't think you just hope those guys that like will get a chance to develop and get to the point where you like to see them.
I guess Kareem Jackson comes to mind because his first year was just such a nightmare, and then he turned into a really good player.
But yeah, him and shoot, you go back to I mean, he's not here anymore. He hasn't been around for a while, but Glover Quinn, like,
yeah,
people were on him. They didn't like what he was doing. He had some tough times and turned into a Pro Bowl player and a very, very solid player over the years. And
sometimes don't you think it's just what kind of coaching you get and, you know, maybe you find the right guy that's right for you? Like, because I we were talking about this the other day with J.D. Martinez, played for the Astros, and was like, he was basically a nobody. they just like, okay, well, we don't need you. And he goes to Detroit. Now he's in Boston. Now he's probably going to be, I mean, he's a candidate for MVP of the league.
Yeah.
He might win the Triple Crown. But when he was here, he was just, I mean, he was barely just a guy. Do you think that you get to a certain spot and they're like, I see something in you that I can fix? Or is it just kind of luck of the draw sometimes?
Yeah, I think a lot of times it's just like situations you're put into. Some guys are put in some tough situations that not everyone has to deal with, or just unlucky situations. And some guys are able to overcome it and become great afterwards. And sometimes those situations break people. Look at the guys have gotten through it, like GQ and Kareem and JD, like you're saying, like those are the type of guys you love because they're able to overcome that type of adversity and those type of maybe unlucky breaks, unlucky situations that they're just happen to be in.
You know, we talked about Fedorowicz and Griffin and even the guy you replaced in Denver, Julius Thomas, who just recently retired to study CTE. Like, I mean, what's your body like these days? How are you feeling these days? Or do you suffer from any of that stuff? Or what's it been like for you since retirement?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I think I mentioned it earlier. Retirement has been tougher than I anticipated it being.
Right.
Overall, just I try to keep working out just to keep, like, not rust, essentially. You know, not I'm 35, so – ask me how my joints feel in a couple years from now. You know, I'm not going out there training like I used to train, but
right.
You know, trying to keep everything kind of, you know, lubed up, so to speak, and just kind of, you know, keep it moving. Mentally, that's probably been the toughest part. And I don't know if it has to do with just being out of the game and trying to adjust to a different life or, you know, if those hits are contributing to that. So
when you say mentally, is it like, not as sharp as you used to be, or are you like dealing with depression, things like that? What's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, I think a lot of guys deal with depression. I don't know if it's like necessarily like not as sharp as I used to be, but maybe like managing situations, being positive, just things like that on a daily basis that are different now than you used to be.
Do you think it's possible that, you know, I mean, obviously it's quite possible that CTE or something like that is contributing to that, but also like the circumstances, like you were talking about with your kid, like that.
Yeah, it's stressful
it's
too.
Just, it's just like, man,
you know, that's about to say.
I mean, talk about something depressing, like child cancer is like top of the list. Like that's something that would bum me out, and you're having to, you know, see a kid go through that. That's got to be frustrating as well.
Frustrating is definitely a word to use for that. It just a very just overall is stressful. One of those going through that whole process with our son Henry. As you're going through it, it's just kind of survival mode. I'm sure.
Yeah.
You can attest to that. You're just kind of doing everything you can for your kid at the time. You're not worried about yourself. You're just kind of doing it.
Keep them alive. Yeah.
You're reacting. You're trying to keep them positive. Keep everything normal as possible. But that's super stressful, and it's just weighing on you. And you don't think on a daily basis, like, man, this is really stressing me out. But deep down, that stress is kind of taking its toll. And I've noticed since he got his tumor removed, and we've kind of like got a lot of positive news going forward that his treatments are over at this point. That along the same lines as I don't think about, man, this is really stressful every day. And I don't think like, man, all this stress has been relieved. But you feel it. You kind of just feel it. And so the being out of football, being retired, CTE stuff, depression stuff, I'm sure that has some type of contribution, but, I feel like now I'm so much more positive since he's been out of it. So that stress has, you know, been off of me, and now we're kind of moving in the right direction.
How much do you miss being like a, I mean, obviously once you're an athlete, a professional athlete, you're always going to have some sense of celebrity. But, I mean, like, can you walk through the mall and it's normal now? Like, or are there still people, like, running up to you and asking for autographs?
Well, I can't tell you the last time I was at the mall, but...
okay, well, we'll walk through Target, wherever you go.
Yeah, going to the grocery store or going out to eat or just you know, being around friends with some other maybe people that I haven't met yet. Like,
right.
It's probably not as much as it used to be, but I think a lot of times people just don't want to, like,
they don't
come up to you, like,
bother
you. I think,
that's true.
But
I think
they're
always willing to do that.
People are a lot nicer, especially here. People are pretty respectful.
They always bother AJ, though.
Not me. I'm not famous. But I've always said I would much rather just be rich and not famous.
But that always
than rich
makes that makes me feel so good, you know?
You like that?
Yeah, I love
it. Do you miss that, like, you're a Houston Texan. Do you miss, like, those days of – you know, like people see you on Thursday and be like, hey, have a good game this weekend or great game last week.
You know, anytime someone recognizes me or compliments me about anything football related when I was playing and now, that always makes me feel really good. People want to be respectful and not come up to me sometimes, but like, don't be shy. Like, I like that type of stuff. And that's stuff that you'll always kind of miss. Getting ready for game days and people, you know, saying good luck or hey, great game last week or, you know, go get him this week type of thing. Those are parts of the game that I missed. And
I'm trying to psychoanalyze. I don't know if you've noticed this.
That's good.
Yeah,
keep
going.
I mean, how I'm doing.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to draw a picture. I'm going to tell you. I want you to tell me what you see.
But I you know, what you were talking about before with dealing with this with your son, I don't think people realize that you don't know how much stress it's causing because, you know, you're having to, you know, you're trying to keep your wife positive. You're trying to keep your kid positive. You're trying to keep your other kid positive. It's like I don't think people realize while you're going through that exactly how much of an impact. And you probably didn't realize it either.
You definitely don't. There's no time to stop and think about that.
Yeah.
And my wife did such an awesome job kind of keeping everyone updated on our son. I didn't do a lot of social media posts on. She'd post on Instagram. She would do a Caring Bridge journal for him every time he had treatments, every time stuff was going on. So it honestly wasn't until, like, she's like, I'm busy. I'm writing a Caring Bridge thing. I'm like, okay. So I'll go, you know, she posted and I go read it. And then I'd read everything that we went through during that day or anything, everything Henry was going through, everything he had to deal with. And you just don't, in the moments, you don't stop to think about, oh my gosh, yeah, he had to go through this, and then he had this reaction to this drug.
It's like you're finding it for the first time.
It's like, oh my gosh, this is what we did today? Holy cow. Yeah, it's, I'm so glad she did that because it actually, you know, gave us some perspective and kind of like, let me step back for a minute and kind of see what was going on.
Well, and that's good for, that really is good for other people that are dealing with the same thing to have somebody else that they can identify with. And that's a huge thing. I mean, it may not seem like it, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that were reading that going, wow, you know, we're dealing with this too, and they connect with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. I think we got one more segment with you. I want to talk to you about the 2018 Texans.
Okay.
And I want to talk to you about the Wisconsin's Badgers football team.
And I want to talk to you about the owner a little bit.
For sure. We're just Badgers, man. We're just top five team, just under the radar. That's
top
just,
five.
That's how the Badgers do. That's how the Badgers do.
I'm curious who
Wisconsin people.
I'm curious who he thinks is going to win the Big Ten when all is said and done.
I bet he's going to say Ohio State.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Bill Advisor. If you own your home, listen up. Our friends at Bill Advisor are about to deliver big savings on your home insurance, and it's always been a pain to shop for a better deal on your insurance. It used to take hours to get a good quote. Then someone came along and made it 15 minutes to save a couple percent. Bill Advisor's newest system, it's fast, and you're going to save a ton of money. They're going to deliver you a firm insurance quote in 15 seconds using nothing but a text message. Grab your phone now. Text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. You send that back. You're going to get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. The savings are real. The average homeowner is saving over $790 a year. It's really convenient. It's real coverage, real savings, real fast. It's 2018. No one has 15 minutes anymore. Bill Advisor is going to find you savings in seconds. This is the new way to shop and save big on your home insurance. One more time, text MONEY to 232323 and get your home insurance quote today from Bill Advisor.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, true friends stab you in the front.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Check out SportsMap.com if you haven't. Greatest sports website in the history of the universe. And I can say that because I'm responsible for it. So check it out. You can follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. Owen Daniels has been with us now for several segments, which I'd be okay with Owen just being the third guy on the show, to be honest with you.
Full time?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'd be okay with that.
Sign me up.
Somebody's going to have to step in for me at some point.
That's true. That's a good point.
I got a year and 3 months left.
Start grooming somebody.
That's a good point. I've been working with Juggalo Trey quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think Juggalo Trey
is not going to work out, huh?
I think Owen could probably replace me. I don't think Juggy could. But
maybe so.
I want to ask you about...
You're irreplaceable.
That's not true.
No. we're all replaceable. Yeah. But I want to ask you about Bob McNair, because he's been in the news a lot for a lot of comments. And, I've known Bob since he was a horse racing guy. I knew him long before he was with the Texans. And, yeah. I won't say I'm surprised by some of the stuff that's come out, but were you around for some of these conversations? And he was never shy about talking politics, and I get that. I was never really a fan of talking politics, but
yeah.
Were you around for some of that?
Well, first of all, I got to say that he was awesome during my son's situation. He called me personally to give his regards and everything for my son, and obviously he's been through some stuff, health wise, and their family have sent balloons and everything. So I'm very, very appreciative for them supporting us in that way, first and foremost. So so he's been great that way. But yeah, I was around for, the conversations back when Barack Obama was elected, and that probably would have just faded away if no other comments had come up.
Yeah.
Because that was never brought up ever again until some other comments were made. So he's always been a nice guy, a respectful person.
He's a great guy. He's also very opinionated, though.
He is, and he's not young.
No.
And he is I don't actually know where he's from. Where is he? Is he from down here somewhere? Southern guy.
He went to school in South Carolina, so.
Yeah, he's a southern guy, older guy, so I don't know. Those things kind of match up with comments he makes sometimes.
I guess that especially now I sort of excuse old people for being old people. Yeah. I mean, it's like we all have family members that have said things that make you cringe, but you're also like, okay, you're 75 years old. You grew up in a different era.
Yeah, it's a different era for sure, but, you'd hope people that, that are that, you just got to be a smart guy, to be doing what he's doing, to be able to adjust to the times and to the sensitivity of certain things in certain times. I think the topic of race or whatever has been more sensitive lately than it has been maybe 10-15 years ago, just in terms of like what's going on in the current atmosphere and everything, environment of sports. And so it's one of those things where you wish he would, it was a little bit more aware of the situation.
See, but I say I excuse him, but like my in-laws are in Canada, and my father-in-law was made a lot of comments about natives up there, and my wife both just kind of called him out on it. Yeah. And over the last few years, he's totally changed his tune, and he's an older guy who's set in his ways, but he's become very cognizant of it. Now he actually, he's giving money and doing all this stuff because we talked to him about it. I do think that people can change, and maybe we should at least. If they don't want to change, that's fine, but we should at least call them out.
I think it's not wrong to say, hey, you probably shouldn't say this, especially right now, especially with who you are. So, and who you're employing. And so there's no problem with that. And I think, if you are somebody who wants to do right and you know, be a respectful person to everybody, that you'll listen to that and you know, try to do what you can to not.
I think deep down, most people are like that. They, you know, they just, if you grow up a certain way and you do a thing your whole life.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's talk about your Badgers. I mean,
yeah, man,
Badgers. How good do you feel about them this year?
you know, my really, really good friend, Jimmy Leonard, is the defense coordinator there. And we were roommates, teammates in each other's weddings. So I feel great about their defense, as good as I'd feel about anybody's defense. He's going to have them playing well, like he had them play well last year. Their offensive line should be fantastic. Got everyone coming back, I believe. Their running back's a beast. It's all about if they can get the ball down the field, throwing the ball, and they got some wide receiver issues with some suspension stuff. But they have a good leader in their quarterback, and their head coach, Paul Christ, is an awesome guy. So I feel pretty confident about those.
Do you feel like you're setting up for heartbreak? Because it seems like every year,
I mean,
Wisconsin is in that mix, and then
I mean, this is the thing, like, no one ever thinks we're going to get there, even if we're ranked high right now. I don't think people have a lot of confidence that we're going to be in the Final Four when it comes down to it. So it would be awesome for Badger Nation to have that happen, but it's a long season. A lot of things can happen, but I'm pretty confident about this team, as confident as I have been. And now, I'm not gonna be heartbroken when it's all said and done,
because right.
I've been confident all along in these guys, and you know, I'm a Badger through and through now. So when they lose, it hurts still, especially in those late season games.
Do you like the way they split up the Big Ten?
Yeah, I love it, actually.
I mean, it's great
for the Badgers. It's great for the Badgers.
It really is.
Yeah, it's right up your alley.
Well, this is the thing. Like, back in the day, I mean, when they weren't split up like that, like, you know, it was still 12 teams. It was – you weren't playing every team every year.
Right.
And you get those years where you had to play Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, and then there's some years where you didn't have to play Ohio State or Penn State, and it's just – you know, the luck of the draw, and if does that match up with the team that you have? You know, it's just one of those things. That's, I mean, that western side or eastern side of that conference is pretty stacked, because they have the bigger name teams. You know, yeah. they have those, you know, national championship teams on that side. So,
and I know we're way over for a break, but I wanted to ask you one more. As long as is Barry Alvarez kind of the de facto coach? I mean, let's be honest. Whoever he brings in kind of runs the Barry Alvarez thing.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was Bielema, whether it's any of these guys, as long as he's there, do you feel like this is going to be a good program?
I would not put Bielema in the same category, because he's not there anymore, and he just wasn't – I don't think he was truly the right – wasn't a Badger fit. What wasn't like a – wasn't the coach there now – does not rub people the way Brett Bielema rubbed people the wrong way. So I think that the Badger coaches are going to come from being a Badger. Coach Christ was a Badger back in the day. He coached for the Badgers, went away, came back. Now, I think the next head coach is already on the staff. He's a defensive coordinator right now, and he's going to be there for a long time. Jimmy has no intentions to go get a coaching job at a MAC school, or he's going to stay in Wisconsin. He's going to be the DC until maybe someday he gets a chance to be head coach.
But whatever we think of Brett Bielema, I mean, that guy took the Badgers to 3 straight Rose Bowls, which is, I mean,
yeah,
didn't win any of them.
No.
But,
yeah, he did lose to TCU. But
you got to admit, if you had said, okay, this coach, he might be a pain in the ass, but he's going to get you to the Rose Bowl 3 years in a row. Almost every school in the Big Ten would be like, okay, sign me up. Except for Ohio State, who fires their coach for, you know, getting tattoos or something. But it just seems like that's a pretty good payback for having a pain-in-the-ass coach.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's different universities handle situations different ways. So they got whatever Ohio State, whatever you're talking about with the tattoos, What is that specifically?
It was that Jim Tressel.
Yeah,
when
Jim Tressel.
He had, Jim Tressel got fired because his players got free tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. But they won't fire Urban Meyer, right?
I don't think they will.
Obviously, they would have if they were going to.
Yeah, I think they would have already
because
done it.
Because everything that he's doing is cool. He's such a stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a prince.
Urban Meyer, he's a
prince.
Classic guy. Classic
he did recruit right Tim Tebow.
Classic guy right there, yeah.
That almost makes up for recruiting a murderer. But
that's the – I mean, that's
– It almost
evens out.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Hey,
same team.
We unfortunately are way over. And Owen,
guys. Thanks for having me.
Love having you on, and you're welcome here anytime. So
absolutely, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
And wish y'all the best. Wish your son the best. And
thanks a lot.
Hope that he winds up being 100% free of it and healthy. So
hope so too. Time will tell.
All right, I have to tell you guys about Zumo's Party Time Sausage, Zumo's Boudin, Zumo's Andouille Sausage. Honestly, doesn't matter what you buy. If you're going to grill this weekend, you better have some Zumo's, because if you don't, you're a loser as a human being. I mean, this is the best sausage that you're going to get anywhere. My wife and I buy this all the time. She uses it for us to make breakfast stuff. She's used it on homemade pizza. We use it just to grill if we want sausage. I've even done hot dogs with the Party Time Sausage. Party Time Sausage is highest quality ingredients, perfectly blended spices, hickory smoked for 4 hours for a truly genuine southern taste. The Boudin, I've never liked store-bought Boudin until now. This is the best store-bought Boudin you're going to find anywhere from Zumo's. And the Andouille Sausage is just amazing. And you can get it at HEB. You can get it at Kroger. You can get it at Fiesta. So go in, get you some Zumo's for the weekend. And if you're not blown away, just tweet at me and say, dude, you were wrong about this. You know how many people have done that? Zero. And you won't be the first, because you're going to love it. They've been in business since 1908. They started over in Beaumont. They're all over Houston now. Go get you some Zumo's. Zumos. Make it a Zumo's weekend.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. Your floors and upholsteries, they took a beating over the summer when the kids were out of school. Take advantage of Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning's back-to-school special. 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for $100, and they're going to throw in a free speed dry. Nowadays, the sleek, lighter-colored fabrics and carpets are in, but you got to keep them clean or they look rough. Get Dirt Free Carpet's back-to-school special. 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for $100. Call them 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt Free. They use no soaps, no unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts with the best technology in the game. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard it here, and get those 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for just $100. It's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.